What's Christmas all about? What would an alien from another planet think if they were to come and perhaps in the shopping centre, the high street, and wonder if they would guess what it's all about? We went to a local garden centre recently with these lovely displays, kind of wondering what that has to do with Christmas, really. You know, penguins and polar bears, snowmen, or even singing penguins. There were some actually singing there, you know. Though, to be fair to the garden centre, they did have that as well. So, just remind us what it was all about. It's not about penguins, polar bears, and snowmen and reindeer, is it? It's about Jesus being born. So I'll give them credit for that. There were a number of displays, in fact, like that. So why Christmas, then? Why Christmas? And we don't celebrate the birth of Alexander the Great, do we? Now, Alexander the Great was a very powerful man. He established one of the biggest empires in history, from Europe down to India. He never lost a battle. He was a very powerful leader, subdued nations. We don't celebrate his birth, do we? How about Julius Caesar? He was a powerful leader too. We don't celebrate his birth, yet he had a huge empire stretched right up to the British Isles, and yet we don't celebrate his birth. So why is it then that we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Now, he was born in an obscure village, an animal shelter, grew up in the village of Nazareth, where he worked as a carpenter for 30 years or so. He never bore a sword or led an army. He refused to resist when arrested. So what's the difference then? We know little of his life from the age of 2 to 12, and then from 12 to 30, know nothing. We just know he was a carpenter, that's all, nothing else. And yet, we celebrate his birth, not these others. I wonder why. Let's go back to one of our readings a moment that I had read earlier, where the angel came to Mary and said, he will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. I wonder what Mary thought of that. I wonder what she thought of that. How much to take in? Could she process all that she heard that day? Such amazing things said about her baby that she was going to have. And as things happened, as the shepherds came in, and later the wise men, I wonder how she started to process all of this information. Why did the angel announced the birth to the shepherds, not to the priests of the temple? Why did the wise men come and not King Herod, who only wanted to kill the baby Jesus? Mary must have pondered all these things. As the years went by, she must have wondered. And when Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to the temple to see the priest said to Mary, a sword will pierce your soul. What did she make of that, I wonder? It would be 30 years before she saw that happen. A sword will pierce your soul. I think later things began to make more sense, eventually. But for a time, I suspect she wondered, what did it all mean? What did this all mean? I want to play you a song now, if it all works okay. Mary, did you know? Work? No? Well, what I'll do, I get the word mind, it won't. I'll read it to you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb? Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect Lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Mary, did you know? Those words that Stephen just read to us just now from John's Gospel, very profound words, aren't they? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. Maybe a newer version might be helpful there. Living Bible. Before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Eternal life is in him. So profound words, aren't they? You heard the saying, I expect, God's in his heaven and all's well with the world, have you? That's not really true. Because all is not well with the world, God didn't stay in his heaven. He came to us that first Christmas. We sang just now, didn't we? He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Difficult to take in, maybe. That's what Christmas is. A Saviour is born to you, the angel said. We all need a Saviour. We've all fallen short of God's standard. We all need a Saviour. And Jesus is the Saviour. Mary would live to feel that sword pierce her soul. A shadow of a cross fell across the cradle, because that was his destiny. Mary would live to see her son die on the cross. Innocent and perfect though he was, he died for our sins and everyone's sins. His birth was no accident of history, and his death was no tragic end to a promising career either. It was God's plan to save the world. This verse has often been called the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That sums up the coming of Jesus, doesn't it? Now, how many followers does Alexander the Great have? Or Julius Caesar? What about Jesus? 2.3 billion or thereabouts Christians in the world. And it's all because of the resurrection. Those other two are dead. Jesus came back to life. That's why he's got a third of the world following him. That's the difference, isn't it? That's why we're not celebrating Caesar-mas or Alexander-mas either. We're celebrating Christmas. There's no Christmas without Easter either. Without Easter, we wouldn't be here. If Easter hadn't happened, we wouldn't be celebrating Christmas. But we're here, celebrating Christmas. But what about those words that Mary had said to her then? Your kingdom will never end. What does that mean? Where's that kingdom? Well, the final installment of God's plan has yet to happen, when Jesus comes again. So it's a message of hope at Christmas. A light came into the world that cannot be put out. A hope that cannot be destroyed. Evil cannot win. It will be banished in the end. Evil cannot win. That's the message of Christmas. As our Christian creeds state, he will come again as king and judge to rule an eternal kingdom. That's the promise. So God has reached down to us, to make a way back to himself. That's what Christmas is all about. There was no room in the Bethlehem Inn for him. Let's make room for him in our lives so that we would be ready for when he comes again. Be part of that wonderful future God has prepared for those who love him. We read in that first chapter of John's Gospel, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That light cannot be put out. That hope cannot be destroyed. Jesus is that light. So in a world of darkness and despair, we can be people of hope. When we embrace that hope for ourselves, we can share it with others. So let's all spread the light, shall we? Not just at Christmas, but other times as well. May God bless you all. Amen.